Hi, welcome to the second installation of Teshuvah, Return and Reboot. During this daily podcast in the month of Elul, we will reflect on evidence-based strategies inspired by our tradition to return to our best selves and to renew our capacity to grow and change. I am Michelle Sarna, and I am a licensed psychologist who works in private practice in camp, school, and community settings. And it is really an honor to join you on this journey as we reflect and consider the best way we can use this opportunity to grow and change. I'd like to explore the very beautiful perspective that Rambam Maimonides introduces in Hilchot Teshuvah on the symbol of Tkiat Shofar, on blowing of shofar, and what the symbolism of the blowing of the shofar means in the context of Rosh Hashanah and Teshuvah. So this may be a familiar idea, but I wanted to explore it together and to look at what research in psychology teaches us about the power of a shofar in our lives to awaken us. The Rambam writes in Hilchot Teshuvah, "Afal pi shetkiat shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeirat hakatuv," even though the instruction to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah is a divine commandment with no obvious rationale offered by the Torah, "Remez yeshbo klomar Uru Yesheni Mishnatchem, Vinirdamim Hakitsu Mitardematchem, Vichabsu Bemasechem, Vichizru Betshuva, Vizichru Borachem." There's nonetheless a clear underlying message inherent within the sounds of the shofar. "Awaken sleepers from your deep sleep and those who slumber from your dozing. Emerge from your slumber, examine your conduct, turn in repentance and remember your Creator." In essence, the shofar is an alarm clock. It's basically waking us up from sleep and reminding us in an alarming fashion that we have, in fact, been sleeping. This is a really powerful paradigm for thinking of teshuvah, because usually or often we think of teshuvah as abandoning things that we're doing wrong and egregious and things that are really antithetical to who we want to be and how we want to behave. According to Rambam, it's not necessarily only returning from that which is bad or evil, but it's awakening us up from the status quo, from a stalemate, from really kind of falling asleep at the wheel. In a very popular and widely circulated article in the New York Times in this past April, Warden-based organizational psychologist and writer and professor Adam Grant wrote about the concept of languishing. And he referred to the research by Keyes, a sociologist, who has explored the notion that mental illness is not the opposite of mental health, but actually flourishing is the sign or reflection of living life to the fullest, of embracing life with joy, with focus, with being mission-driven. And the opposite of flourishing is languishing. Languishing is described as having low performance on positive feelings, life satisfaction, a sense of meaning, interactions with others, and positive relationships. And in fact, this languishing, which is the absence of well-being, is a strong predictor for later development of mental illness, perhaps even a stronger predictor than actually being eligible for a diagnosis of mental illness in the present. So languishing was a concept that was developed to basically capture what we feel when we're feeling blah or meh, where we're just slipping into the status quo and accepting that as our reality. Now, There are different ways of addressing languishing. The first step is kind of being alerted to the fact that we're in it. Because when we are in meh mode, it's hard to change course. It's hard to realize that there is something wrong and that we can be living life more deeply, more richly, and more aligned with our mission. Adam Grant points to research that was done that indicates a possible way of breaking out from languishing or making an alarm clock for ourselves, if we can say that, which is setting aside time to be in flow, investing uninterrupted time to engage in something that's important, something that's challenging, something that is mission-driven and purposeful. And if we can try to shut off our reminders and shut off our inbox and ignore social media and just find and block off a few hours, we can actually get into flow, which is help sounds an alarm bell to wake us up from languishing. There's also research that indicates that practicing mindfulness, which has so many benefits, can also really help get us out of the state of languishing. Now, a lot of people, including myself, have been very critical or opposed to embracing mindfulness. It sounds very hokey and Eastern, and it doesn't necessarily fit sometimes with being an analytical or critical thinker. However, there is decades of research and evidence that practicing mindfulness has so many benefits. And one of them is awakening us out of a state of languishing. Mindfulness can be as simple as taking a walk and paying attention to what's around you. It can be as simple as just being very present in the moment and being aware of what all of your senses are perceiving and picking up. So I want to share one mindfulness experience that I had last spring when I was embracing the reality of living in downtown Manhattan, when the pandemic was basically emptying the streets and sending people to hospitals, and the world had basically turned upside down. And I was at home in Manhattan with my beautiful 6 children, and I was working online virtually and feeling very grateful to have a job. Also disturbed by the news and as everyone feeling vulnerable and unsure of what lay ahead. And during that time, I took the opportunity to go bike riding. Now, I have lived in New York City in Manhattan for 2 decades. And in that time, I have spent a lot of time walking the streets of Manhattan, driving in Manhattan, sometimes riding a scooter in Manhattan, but I'd never been brave enough to ride a bike in Manhattan. And it was during those moments of being outside and seeing the Manhattan streets being emptied and barren in a way that I'd never seen before, and getting to see the people that were left behind in New York City, that I really tried to be very mindful and present during the bike ride and to try to get recentered. And I also had the opportunity, because I was focusing on being present and also seeing the city from a different angle on a bike, to take in visions and vistas in ways that I hadn't before. And one of those was when I did a loop around the southern tip of Manhattan and passed by the Statue of Liberty, who was standing erect, and in her arm, straight above, was holding a torch representing all of the deep and rich symbols that the Statue of Liberty represents and has signified for Americans for centuries. And right in front of her was standing this old man who was bent over, whose spine was almost in a full arch, perhaps with age, and just feeble and weak, but with full of dignity and grace. And I could not imagine what his life story was, but the juxtaposition and contrast of this man kind of arched over, standing in front of the Statue of Liberty, standing erect, was so powerful. And I just kind of breathed it in and noticed. And I took a moment to think about everything about our country, about the present moment that felt so affirming, that felt so rooted. And then looking at the man, thinking about everything that felt so vulnerable, so fragile, and broken. And it just was a really centering moment that I had the opportunity to be aware of, because I was trying to be mindful in the moment, and it woke me up. It woke me up and sounded an alarm to see, to just think about and explore, what is my responsibility in all of this? So I wanted to invite all of us to consider how we can use the shofar and leverage it as an actual alarm clock to awaken ourselves from languishing and begin to experiencing flourishing by realigning with our mission and our unique purpose. Have an amazing day.